RCR with Paul Brennan.
So, to Auckland Council's refusal to defend precautionary measures against genetically engineered organisms in the unitary plan, despite growing public concern and the risks posed by the gene technology bill. To talk about this here at RCR again, welcome back, John Carapiet, spokesperson for GE Free New Zealand. Hi, John. Thanks for coming back on.
Thank you.
Now, you're at the centre of this, you personally, right?
Unfortunately, about a month in February, we started contacting the council because you'll remember that the gene technology bill came out just before Christmas. So a lot of people were caught on the hop, including councils who were on holiday doing other things. So in February, I started approaching the council to say they had missed the boat on making a submission. Some other councils did make a submission, but Auckland didn't have time, didn't have resources. But I guess between the lines, they weren't that interested either. So I was given the runaround a bit. I went to the governing board, who sent me to the planning and policy committee, and eventually I got I almost got a hearing at the public forum section, and I was told no, understanding orders 129 or whatever it was, it wasn't a matter for the council and they wouldn't be talking about it. So this is really off, Paul. You know, of course it's a matter of council, because what we've got developed over years in conjunction with other councils is precautionary elements in our unitary plan. And those precautions include things like if a user's going to do a GE trial, for example, they've got to pay a bond to make sure it's cleaned up and it doesn't fall to ratepayers. And of course, you may remember, and some of your listeners may not know, but what the gene technology bill does is something very, very bad. It takes away the precautionary principle at the national level so that the regulator doesn't have to consider precaution.
And there's a reason for that, surely.
Interest of the business people is to say, well, there's a barrier to us doing what we want to do, and so take away precaution. But as we've talked about before, and other people more expert than I have spoken about, is that, you know, the cleverness and the complexity of technology, especially in that receiving environment, once it's outside the lab in nature, are complex and they need to be managed. So, but about probably 10 or 15 years ago, communities all over the country, but especially in Northland and Auckland and Hastings, they spoke up. And what happened was that certain councils, not all councils, put in place in their plans precaution to say, well, you know, it might harm our environment, but it might harm our exports, it might harm our communities. And so we want another level whereby people who want to do a field trial for genetic engineering have to actually tell us. They actually have to, as I say, place a bond. They have to, you know, we have to know what's going on. So that's being taken away at the national level. But in this gene technology bill, they're also taking it away at the local level. So that's why places like Hastings and Northern Regional Council made submissions to say, excuse me, but this was consulted on. This was a highly planned process with other councils, cost effectively, to say, like, we're not all going to carry this burden. We'll work together. Look at what the risks are to local communities. And that's why those precautions are in place. Now, the fact that the Auckland Council hasn't even bothered to make a submission, you can forgive them that, because it was bad timing for everybody.
Oh, wait on.
They haven't written a letter since then to say, oh, look, we just caught up with this. To be honest, it is the tail wagging the dog. The officers are telling the councillors, you cannot hear about this. This is not a matter for you. Now, those officers are obviously doing what they think is right. They're definitely towing the government line, which is saying, you know, the letters coming back, even from the chief financial officer about a month ago, is nothing to do with us, it's for the government to decide. And despite pointing out, well, it's a bit late to have that policy because we've got these precautionary policies in the plans, the community believes that you should be defending them. And when I say the community believes that council should be defending them, can I just highlight a couple of recent polls? Now, Auckland is a bit like the rest of the country, but not perfectly a match. But 74% of farmers in the Farmers Weekly poll a couple of weeks ago said that they do not see more access to gene editing and genetic engineering as a benefit to their production and exports. Now, I'm guessing that about 74% of farmers and producers in Auckland feel that. And similarly, if you go back to before the bill came out, the appetite for the general public in terms of easing regulations on gene editing, which is what this bill does, it was about 1-4% actually said, yeah, let's ease the regulations. The majority of people wanted actually stricter regulations, or more or less what we've got now. So unfortunately, Mayor Wayne Brown hasn't stepped forward, because I was really hoping that he's got a little fund. He could say to the officers, well, look, you may not have the money and the skills to do this, and you might have run out of time, but here's some money. Go start up that inter-council working party that looked at managing the risks of GMOs locally. So that's what the ask is. Please
Well,
read that.
that wouldn't have cost more than one of those crossings.
I'm not sure what it would cost, but the last Friday, the application for submissions on the annual plan, budget bids, and I think quite a few people wrote into the council to say, well, how about allocating £30,000 to work collaboratively and cost effectively with other councils, just to understand the new risk exposure to ratepayers and the public, because the new legislation is quite dramatically different from what we have today. It does expose communities to new costs, new risks, and that's what that inter-council working body did last time, and they kind of need to do it again. What is the cost to ratepayers of cleanup? What is the cost to Auckland of losing? You remember the NZ Economic Institute of Research? They did a study saying that $10 to $20 billion could be lost in added
For
value.
Owens, yep.
Yes, and so that, I mean, and it wasn't a complete study. They said that, but even if it's anywhere near 10 million, sorry, 10 billion per year, that's going to affect the Auckland economy. And I guess just one final thought. I do understand that we're trying to find a middle path for New Zealand, with different views. The Crown Research and Institutes, Plant and Food, have offices in Auckland and labs in Auckland. The universities are all very supportive of the bill, but even they should say, well, that shouldn't be at the cost of the public or the environment. So we're trying to navigate a middle path, and precaution is being taken away. And for me, as genetic engineering and gene editing becomes even cleverer, combined with nanotechnology, synthetic biology, the whole risk profile is expanding. And so precaution is actually one of the fundamentals we need to protect.
Think about technocratic overreach as well, just as an act of hubris. Okay, so you'd think, I'm just reading here that the committee, the Policy and Planning Committee, deemed the issue we're talking about outside their remit. Now, exposure to liability to ratepayers, particularly in a catastrophic event, could be huge. So how come the Policy and Planning Committee think that's outside their remit?
Well, as I said, the people, the Crown Research and the other people who are very much pro the deregulation of gene editing have been in their ear, I suspect.
Yeah, but it's
And
common sense.
well, this is my problem, is that it's not a debate or an issue for councils about being pro-GE or anti-GE. This is about exposure to communities and ratepayers to costs. I do want to have that bigger discussion about
Yeah,
ethics,
but at minimum, it's
but
that.
just the
Yeah,
money.
follow the money
What these
bit.
people mainly focus on, rightly or wrongly, and so the fact that they aren't saying, well, what are the costs? What is the potential budget that we need to allocate to cover off a cleanup, to cover off a disastrous effect somewhere in our waterways? And these are all absolutely possible looking into the future.
And anything health-wise that comes from it downstream from that as well, and in a big population centre, that could expose a lot of people. What happens now, John? What do you do now?
Well, it would be very interesting to see if the mayor responds to the public call to say, look, please up the game, ask the officers to do something, ask the office to start the inter-council working group. The liability issues are not going away. It's very interesting, but again, our council seems to have missed this entirely, but other people made submissions to this rule, so to the select committee on this bill. One of them was the parliamentary commissioner for the environment, and in his submission, again,
Simon Upton, right?
exactly
Yeah.
right. And his last point, I think, was you need to introduce civil liability, because this is all on the never never. This is all on the promise of assets and benefits and IP, but at other people's costs. So he said introduce civil liability into the legislation. And I think that's probably a very good idea to do, because, as I say, what we currently have is precaution, which is about to be taken away, but no civil liability in the bill. No, not even a requirement for the companies using genetic engineering to show financial fitness, to pay a fine or to clean up. So those are the policies that we've got in the unitary plan and other council plans, and like Hastings, and they are worth fighting for. And if it's worth, at the end of the day, if the councillors decide we're not going to fight for this, then obviously I'm going to respond to that and say, oh, please do. But at the moment, the councillors aren't even hearing about it. They're not discussing it. The officers, the council officers are saying, don't you listen to this. Don't you hear about this. This has nothing to do with you. And of course, it is to do with them.
Sounds like the way you put that, it sounds like someone hypnotizing someone. It has nothing to do with you.
Well, don't it is listen.
Yeah. Okay. Just to finish up, because I've talked with you a number of times and many others about this issue specifically and the whole GM sort of concept. Seems to me that there's a pattern here for New Zealand, and maybe it is applying in other areas of the world, that we're basically being set up and tweaked to be a lab.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Paul, because Farmers Weekly, which is very much a farmer's magazine, has done some very good studies, apart from that survey of their farmers that said 74% don't support gene editing being relaxed, etc. But the other thing that they did was they reported MFAT, Ministry of Foreign Trade, saying this could be really damaging for our exports. The other thing they did was report Fonterra, saying that this was a handover of power to overseas influences. Oh. Because, as you remember, the bill's got a number of these very dodgy clauses about mandatory approvals of medical uses, but it also sets up mandatory use of gene-edited products that have been approved by two other authorities overseas.
Yeah, overseas jurisdictions. It could be Uganda, Zimbabwe. Who knows?
It could be lots of places. I mean, theoretically, the regulator will choose them to be the best ones. But let's be clear, it's all the kind of Anglo-Saxon, the Five Eyes, the US, Canada, UK, Australia and New Zealand that are getting this really hard-edged push for GE. Most other countries are still defending their policies to have at least choice and regulation and traceability. And, you know, apart from Fonterra themselves calling out this influence of overseas powers on our legislation and what we produce as food, the consumers are saying the same thing, that they don't want to lose the choice. And that's really what this bill does by not regulating, not tracing lots of new gene-edited products.
And there's no one who can tell me, because I've asked many people on all sides, how we do better than a hit of 10 to 20 billion the other way with GE.
It's a lost opportunity. I guess what frustrates me a little bit about it is that even that 10 to 20 billion has been questioned. Oh, maybe it's not that much. Maybe there's no value in GE.
Well, even if it's five, you're never going to earn that from GE.
But it's more than that, Paul. It's about the future. The demand for clean, safe food is only going to expand into the future, including non-GMO and GE-free. So there's an opportunity cost that even if it's only $10 billion worth of value now that could be lost, in 10 or 15 years, that value being lost could be 20 or 30 billion.
Exponential growth. Growth in that loss. All right, if people want to find out more, gefree.org.nz, right, John? It's the best place to go. It's all there.
There's a press release about the council refusing to engage. And I guess if you know Wayne Brown, if you know councillors, if you can go to your community board in Auckland, that's where it started, Paul. Like Waiheke Island are very proud that they started this discussion 25 years ago. And, cool. and they want that discussion to continue, not to be silenced by officers at council.
John Carapiet, GE Free NZ. Thanks for coming back on, John.
Thank you, mate.